Support for the Positive Judaism podcast comes from Tamid, the downtown synagogue in New York City. People of all faiths and backgrounds are welcome to celebrate Jewish life at Tamid. Visit www.tamidnyc.org for more information.
From New York City, welcome back to the Positive Judaism podcast. I'm Rabbi Darren Levine. Positive Judaism is a new vision for Jewish life in the 21st century, which lives at the intersection of religious living and the science of well-being and happiness. In this episode, I will be speaking about my vision for positive religion on a global scale. Earlier episodes in this series have focused on human flourishing from a Jewish perspective, but the theory and teachings of positive Judaism are all humanistic, all based in universal truths about well-being, and do not need to be limited to one faith. All faiths that believe in human potential and individual freedom, who believe in tradition and community, and who dream of a better world for us and our children, they are already part of it. A new positive religion. Thank you for joining. Let's start with some data and some facts. The Pew Research Center recently reported that 36% of Americans attend religious services at least once per week, and that 33% attend from a few times per month to a few times per year. In the U.S. alone, this amounts to over 200 million people in the pews each year, and that's just in the United States. If only a small percentage of these folks heard messages of well-being and learned practical ways to raise the level of positivity and well-being in their lives, there would be a significant increase in well-being and happiness. Clearly, quality healthcare, better education, and safer communities will raise levels of well-being, but so does participating in faith community. Time and again, it has been shown that religious people are happier and more satisfied with life than non-religious individuals. This is not saying that believers in God are happier than those who do not. Rather, it's saying that people who consider themselves to be religious people scale higher in life satisfaction and well-being than those who do not. It's here, in the religious realm, that people can best express their most human values, like optimism, hope, love, kindness, and gratitude, and appreciate and develop their psychological strengths like bravery, courage, authenticity, love of learning, humility, and forgiveness. Here's what the studies conclude. Number one, religious people are happier and healthier and recover better after trauma than non-religious people. Number two, the social support, fellowship, and sense of identity allows people to share in one another's burdens and achievements, and helps people feel less isolated. And number three, the strong emotional experiences of worship and prayer provide comfort and encourage awe and wonder and the search for the divine. Why? Because faith, education, and religious communities provide the context to ask essential questions about life. Who am I? What is my life for? Where do I fit in? Who is the Creator? How do I live a virtuous life and improve the world around me? And faith communities hold people together and guide them to address these deep questions that have massive implications. An emerging positive religious platform should draw upon the teachings and rituals that lead to well-being and happiness. Positive religion is not a universal practice that seeks to eliminate the uniqueness of each faith group. That already exists in Universal Unitarianism, the Ethical Culture Society, and the Quaker Society by and large. Positive religion is not a movement. It is a platform to draw on the positive messages and teachings that already exist within particular religious faith groups. There will be a positive Judaism, a positive Christianity, a positive Islam, and a positive Buddhism, etc., etc., each having their own distinct philosophies, practices, and traditions for well-being, happiness, and life satisfaction. Positive religion will focus the work of religious leaders, priests, pastors, imams, rabbis, and teachers of all faiths, along with their communities, to embrace positivity as the engine and platform that drives their uniqueness and particular messages. I believe that there are three fundamental ideas that need to live at the heart of how faith traditions will apply positive religion in their own unique ways. Number one, focus on freedom rather than authoritarianism. Number two, replace pessimism and fear with optimism and hope. And three, teach human flourishing through religious practices, rituals, and symbols. Here is an example of how these three ideas are prescribed in a Jewish story. There is a tale from the old country of a community of 200 years ago in the inner veldt in Eastern Europe. This was a very religious community whose rabbi would never show up at synagogue before 12 noon each day. By and large, this was not a problem for the community, except they wanted their rabbi there with them on the most sacred day of the year, and that was Yom Kippur, when the rituals and observances of this day began at sun up. But year after year after year, despite it being the most sacred day of the Jewish calendar, this rabbi would not show up until midday. One year, the temple president assigned one of its members to follow the rabbi home after the evening prayers the night before Yom Kippur. They assigned Yunkel to follow the rabbi home through the town square, past the gates of the village, and into the forest where the rabbi kept a very small and humble cabin. That evening, Yunkel perched himself upon a tree to be able to see what the rabbi would do when he woke up the next morning. Day broke. Yunkel witnessed the rabbi busying himself in his cabin and quickly leave through the front door, taking off in the opposite direction into the forest. Yunkel quickly came down from the tree and ran after the rabbi. Minutes later, the forest opened into this big, beautiful clearing, and in the middle of this clearing sat a simple wooden cabin. Yunkel watched the rabbi enter this cabin, and so Yunkel quietly walked through the field to peek into the window to see what was going on in this cabin. And there was a woman sitting there at a simple table, and the rabbi was busying himself, moving around the cabin with quickness, cleaning, cooking, preparing. And finally, he placed a bowl of food at the table in which this woman sat, and she began to eat. The rabbi said farewell. He walked out the door and walked through the clearing back into the village square. Yunkel ran as fast as he could, though a different direction, to try and beat the rabbi back to the synagogue in order to report to the people of the synagogue what was going on with this rabbi. Yunkel entered the shul, and the president was standing on the bima. He welcomed Yunkel to the bima and said, "Yunkel, tell us now, what is the rabbi doing until 12 each day?" Yunkel was completely out of breath and breathing hard and couldn't get out the words. So people from the congregation began shouting out, "Yunkel, what's the rabbi doing? Is he studying text?" "No," said Yunkel. No, he's not studying text." Another shouted, "Yunkel, what's the rabbi doing? Is he lazing off and dozing all morning long?" "No, he's not dozing and lazing," Yunkel said. Finally, someone shouted out from the back of the hall, "Yunkel, what's the rabbi doing, that holy man? Is he going up to God?" And Yunkel, catching his breath, said, "He's going higher than God." Thank you. Embedded in the story I just told has the three elements that live at the heart of positive religion. Number one, focus on freedom rather than authoritarianism. The rabbi in my story was driven by the freedom for the woman in need. She needed his help to survive and to live. Yet despite the pressure from the synagogue community and the observance of the holiday on Yom Kippur first thing in the morning, the rabbi prioritized her freedom first, and second, the ritual observance of Yom Kippur. Number two, replace pessimism and fear with optimism and hope. The vocal members of the synagogue displayed pessimism and fear. They likely felt rejected that their rabbi was not available to them when they wished he should be with them first thing in the morning. So rather than take an optimistic stance, they were suspect of his behavior. Where is he? Why doesn't he put us first? We deserve his attention, don't we? And number three, teach human flourishing through religious practices, rituals, and symbols. In Judaism, the idea of making the world a better place through religious practice is called tikkun olam. In the story I told, the rabbi is practicing this by following the laws of pikuach nefesh. Saving a life comes first and foremost. And when Yunkel returns to the synagogue to make his big announcement, everyone learns the rabbi's priority is to support human flourishing, which might be the most important teaching on Yom Kippur that synagogue community had ever learned. Now, this story could have been told in many different ways, substituting Jewish language and symbols with another set of ideas from any other great religious tradition. And this is positive religion. And now, as we turn to the end of this episode, I want to acknowledge the many religious organizations, ministers, and faith educators all over the world who have a vision for innovative, expansive, and dynamic religious living. They have been successful at motivating their communities and their people to achieve great things. Their people feel loved, they feel supported, and they feel connected to each other and to God. The Pastor's Creed of the 21st century should be to raise the well-being and happiness of the lives of the individuals and communities they serve by implementing positive religion in their ministry, and faith organizations should do the same. I believe the result of this enhancement will be one of the most important shifts in modern-day religion than anything we've yet to see and to experience in our lifetime. The opportunity is so great, and I invite you to visit positive-judaism.org, where we are creating resources, writing blogs, and hosting podcasts for you to use and to adopt in your own way. For everyone, faith leaders, wisdom teachers, and religious communities who are eager to help your people thrive and flourish and to raise the universal level of well-being on a global level, I thank you. We are just at the beginning, and I wish you much success as you imagine new ways for positive religion to change the world.